All right, we are on the Mishnah on Chavav Amud Beis. Continuing to talk about cases of, this is a case of women who are taken captive and what their status is afterwards. So the Mishnah says as follows. Ha'isha shenichbisha bidei avdei kochav. So a woman who is, we can call it kidnapped, but it's not going to be really kidnapped. It's more of like, taken prisoner, hostage, exactly. But we're to see it depends exactly how it works. But she's taken captive by a group of non-Jews. If she was taken captive because she owed them money, so then she, once she is returned, she's permitted back to her husband. But if she was taken captive and her, she's considered like, Chai Misa or whatever, so then, if she ends up getting released, then Asur Labala, then she's forbidden to her husband. Look at Rashi. I did Mamon with Harris Labala. Why, if it was because of money, is she permitted back to her husband? De Mirsisi Lahavsi Mamonon. Because the individuals who kidnap her, they've taken her captive in order to get paid. So if they violate her, so they're nervous they're going to lose their money. Therefore, they're more careful with how they treat her because they have something to gain here. They're trying to get their money back. But if it's Ayadi Nefasha, says Rashi, Chahayasa Nidonis Lamus, right? They have judged her that she's supposed to die. So then Asur Labala, she's forbidden to her husband. Why? The whole Vinogin Bahefkar, because since now that she's going to be killed anyways, now they treat her in a disrespectful way. Now we can assume that they would violate her. So then, because what's the concern? The concern is not that they rape her. That's a concern in terms of life, her life. But the halachically in terms of going back to her husband, if her husband is not a kohen, right? So if it turns out that they violated her against her will, so she could go back to her husband as long as he's not a kohen. But if she basically gives up all hope because she is gonna die anyways, that's like kind of the concern. She's gonna die anyways. She knows that she's no hope to ever be released. So maybe at that point, the Chazal say, maybe in that scenario, we should be concerned that she, was okay with it. Even one time, in which case, she would now be forbidden to her husband. That's Esther, right? That's when, Chazal explained, the Gemara explains, when she says that Esther was married to Mordechai, all the other times when Achashverosh took her, so that was against her will. But when she goes to him, Shalok Hadas, it means against the law of, of the king, but also Chazal Darshan, that she goes now against the halacha at this point, because she's no longer being forced, she's going to him by her own free will, then Kasher Avadati Avadati, and therefore she says, that's why I'm going to be lost to you, Mordechai, right? Because she goes, because she actually agrees to go. So the same concern in this case as well. Okay, so it says the Gemara as follows. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak Amar Rav. Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak says the name of Rav. Lo Shanu, this whole concept, this distinction between Mamon and Nefashos, Lo Shanu Ella Sheyad Yisrael Takif Al Ovdi Kochavim. That's only going to be true when the Jews are the ones who are in power in that community, in that country, whatever it is, that the Jews are in charge. Aval Yad Ovdi Kochavim Takif Al Atzman. But if the non-Jews are controlling themselves, right, and the Jewish community is sort of subordinate to the non-Jews, so then afilu ayde mamon asur labala. Then when it comes to the case of even when she owes money, that's still then we're still gonna make asur labala. Why? Because the whole concern, right? Look at Rashi. Lo shanu ayde mamon uteras labala. The only case where she's allowed, we say if she was taken because of money, she's permitted back to her husband. Ela sheyadi yisrael takif alav dikavim v'yereim laso shalokedin shemi afsidu mamonam. Again, the whole point was, right, that they're nervous that if they violate this woman, they're not going to get paid back the money, right? That's only going to work if they're afraid of somebody, right? If they're afraid of the Jewish community, so then we can say, okay, if it's either mamon, so they're trying to make sure to get their money back, they're going to be nervous to do something not appropriate to this woman. But if they're the ones in charge, then they're not going to care. It'd be an interesting question. What would happen? The Gemara makes a distinction if it's Yad Yisrael's Takifa or they control each other. Right, what would happen if they control each other, but there's like laws about this, right? Like, let's say you live in a more civilized society, like our society. Would you be you know, would that fear still exist? You know, l'chaver, the Gemara is saying right now is no, is because there's a certain level of like pritzos that exists within that world that they wouldn't care as much. It wouldn't be as, you know, it wouldn't be something that would bother them. Good question. And like the more civilized society, would that matter or not? Yeah, what do you say?
It was based on what the Mishnah said. The only reason why she's usher in the second case is because there's no hope of return.
Right.
So she does it willingly. Here, right. With money, there's always a hope of return. So she's never going to do it willingly. So why would she be usher in a case of money?
Even right, good. Good, good, good. And some of the question might be, and this we're going to see as we move along, is maybe there's a if we're talking about going back to her husband who is a non-Kohen,
right.
then that's correct, right? So meaning, Harvey's point is, if we're talking about going to her husband to non-Kohen, the only question is whether she, can believe that she might be let out, right? So as long as it's not nefashos, that should be enough reason to, even if it has to do with money, it doesn't matter. As long as she has hope that she can be freed, that should be enough. But if you're talking about a case of a husband who's a Kohen, right. Then the question is whether we can assume she was violated or not. Right? So it could be that at this point, the question isn't just was she willing or not, but even if she's not willing, but if her husband's a Kohen, then that'll make the distinction there. Could be. Yeah, but the Gemara is not explicit about that. You're right. It's a good point. If they just change the name of the game, that's a little confusing. Why change in the middle? It's a fair question. Look at Tosfos Ayadei Mamon Muteris. It's the second to last Tosfos on the line. Doesn't make this exact point, but it makes a similar point. Look at Ayadei Mamon Muteris Labali. See where I am? It's like, I don't know, 12 lines up from the bottom. Says Tosfos Nira Du Muteris Afid Labali Kohen. Right. This is on the Mishnah. Right. The assumption is she's permissible even to her husband who's a Kohen. The Lo Chashin Afid La Onsa. We're not concerned even to the case of Ones. Right. Mishum De Mirsila Hafsi Mamonam. Right, we're not nervous that she's because they're nervous to get their money back. But that's what I was saying at the beginning. Like that somehow nichbasha is not the same thing as shavuya. It's a little different. She's captured, but it's not the same as like these women who are kidnapped. That's the gemara means the ka'amar lo shanu ela she yadi shal takif alav the chavim aval yado the chavim takif alatzman afila de al nemamon asur la baila. Right, va'korcha hainu lekahuna. That's exactly the point. The Torah makes exactly that point. Right, that the originally, the argument to be makel is even for the Kohen, and here when it's saying to be machmir, it would be machmir for the Kohen. So the Chavar, yeah, that's exactly the point. Good, thank you for pointing that out. Okay, fine. So now let's go back to the Gemara. Okay, so Masiv Rava. So Rava says not so fast. Okay, hey, Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzev. I wonder if it's a coincidence that the person who gave the testimony is Rabbi Yossi HaKohen. But we'll see. Hey, Rabbi Yossi HaKohen. We'll see if maybe it's not. Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzev. Abbas Yisrael Shohur Hana Be'ashkelon. Okay, so Hur Hana means that she like gave herself up in the sense that there was someone who she owed money to. And she gave herself, like she had made an original deal that she would give herself up like as a collateral, sort of like if I don't pay back, you know, she not collateral, but like, sort of like if she doesn't pay, they can take her like to work for them. So the Zabas Yisrael Shahura, no, she gave herself up, sort of in a place called Ashkelon. Virichkua b'nei mishpachta, right? And once that happened, so basically she didn't pay, and the she was taken by these non Jews again. She was taken willingly, sort of, right? It was sort of like she understood that was part of the deal. If she didn't pay it back, they were going to take her, and she have to work for them or something. Sort of like a little similar to an eved, you know, like an eved ivory who doesn't pay and it has to be, you know, go to work. So, and what happened? But when that happened, her family distanced her from them right, at that point. Why? Because there was an assumption that if she's now like being taken by these non-Jews, it must be. Right, that they violated her, and she'd be forbidden to marry any Kohen afterwards. Ve'ideha me'idinosa, but she has witnesses, right, who were, you know, around. Some of the Farshim point out they must be non-Jewish, probably. That's because they're in the where she is in this, you know, with these people. Me'idinosa shalonistra. They testify that she never had yichud with any of them. Ve'shalonitma, and that she never had tashish with any of them. And Chachamim said to the family, "Ima tema minim shahurhana heiminu shalonistra." Right? Again, who saw that she was hurhana? These same witnesses. Right? These witnesses saw that she had been taken by them, right? And they also, the same witnesses say that, by the way, she never had a yichud and she never was nitma. So if you believe her, if you're believing them that she was taken, right, that she agreed, or that she like agreed to be taken, right? So then believe her that she wasn't nistra and that she wasn't nitma. That would be what concept? Pesha asuhu pesha hita, right? Same thing. They're the ones testifying that she was agreed to be taken. So agreed. So you know, so you have to, you know, agree also that that this didn't happen to her. Vim iatem ma'aminim shlo nistra v'lishlo nitma. If you're not believing that she wasn't nistra and that she wasn't nitma, al taminim shuhurna, right? And don't believe that she actually gave herself up. And says the Gemara, v'ha Ashkelon di yad ofi kolchavim takif al atzman. Right? This, the case of Ashkelon at that point, right? Right? Was the Rashi points out Eretz plishtim hi. V'od kfar gol Yisrael, right? It's no Jews living there anymore, or Am Yisrael is now kicked out of the land, so they're not, the Jews are not in control anymore, right? And what happened? V'ha Ashkelon diyad ovdei kucham takif al atzman v'katani hurna in nich v'shalo. And the implication here is that's because she gave herself up, right, to these people, that she was now, there was a concern that she was forbidden, and only to be muteris if what? If she has witnesses, right, that she wasn't secluded, otherwise they would have assumed that she's forbidden, right? But nich b'shalo, the assumption that nich b'shalo would mean that she would be usher, right? So look at Rashi. Rashi on the Tavach of Zanam and Aleph writes, hurana demidas, right? She does it, she willingly. V'kevin the yigiyaz man, the time comes, v'lo niftes, and she wasn't redeemed, harehi shal ovdi chuchavim medineyem. She's like, you know, with non-Jews and their rules. And that's why I need edim at this point, because it's almost like she gave herself willing to the non-Jew. However, nichbasha, the ena nichletes lahem, right? She's not given over to them. They decide to take her. Then lo ba'in and edim, hol va'yadei mamonu. That's like ayadei mamon. But the point is, before, what was the point? Rav Yitzchak had said in the name of Rav that this whole rule, right, this distinction between mamon and nichbasha, is only when? That's only if the non-Jews are not in control, right? But if the non-Jews are in control, it doesn't matter what happens. We're not going to make any distinctions. As long as she goes to them, we assume that she was violated. So what's going on here? This case of Ashkelon is a case where the non-Jews are in control, and nevertheless, it seems to be, it's specifically, right, we use this language of hurhana, which is very specific, that she was taken not against her will. And nevertheless, she's, you know, and that's the reason why she is, you know, sorry, the hurhana, and she still needs, she still needs edim. The implication being that if she was taken against her will, she wouldn't have needed edim. But what do you mean? Here, the non-Jews are in control of everything, so there should be no distinctions at all.
The first edim is just a red herring. It's just a little confusing. I mean, it started off, this mission started with he and Rabbi Yossi.
Yeah, that's not hey. That's not edim. Yeah, yeah, it's not, yeah, yeah. He just told over. Right. Yeah, correct. Yeah, that the language is hey there. It's confusing. Yeah, correct. Okay, so what's the answer? The answer tomorrow, no. Who did afilu nichbasha? So the first answer is, no problem. No, when this is Hey Rabbi Yossi, right? What was the case? The case was hurana. So he's just very specific about, he gave over like what happened in the case. It's not hurana, and then come to tell me specifically hurana, but if nechbasha, then we make a dip. No, there's no distinction. No one's making any distinctions. It's exactly what we said. It would be hurana, it would be nechbasha, it doesn't make a difference. Never, it wouldn't make, we wouldn't make any distinctions, and that's exactly the point that Rob was making, which was that we make no distinctions once the non-Jews are in control. At that point, we don't care. Okay, the Gemara is going to give a couple other answers to this question and how we answer it, but we're going to be out of time. So we'll stop here, and we'll pick up with the top sign next week. Okay. Are we going to do it on Monday? Wow, okay. Monday. Mitzvah Shem.